Welcome to Zuma Clock with your host, Tessie Anthony de Nassau. This podcast brings you enlightening discussions with leading experts and public figures directly to your ears.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Zuma Clock with your host, Tessie Anthony de Nassau. I hope you have been well and that you have started the new year 2023 with a bash. I know that my next guest did. Vivian Wong, the co-founder of Little Moons, an international brand, which scaled the brand from a small brand up to now being present in 30 countries around the world. She's an entrepreneur, but most importantly, Vivian is a really, really good friend of mine from London, which I dearly love. And we have known each other for almost a decade now. And it has been just such a delight to see you grow and flourish in your business, but also as a person and also as a woman. You are such an inspiration. Thank you, Vivian, for your time. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Tessie. Great to be on here with you.
This is just so fantastic. I was so looking forward to this because I haven't seen you for literally, 3.5 years now in person because of the pandemic. Then I was pregnant. And I'm just following you on Instagram and your channels. And yeah, I missed you. I missed seeing you.
Yeah. I think COVID was really awful for a lot of people. And I think it's been so nice reconnecting. And like you said, actually, we've been through so much in the 10 years. Our lives have changed immeasurably. And I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you.
This is fantastic. So there is so much we can talk about. But I think, you know, the underlying superwoman effect here is that you are a very successful entrepreneur, but from nothing comes nothing, right? You worked hard to where you are today with highs and lows, privately and work-wise. So let's start with when you were a little child, right?
Yeah.
What did you miss? What did you see that you as a woman now can invest in more? Did you have any role models of women that were there where you are now?
I have to say, from the very beginning, my mom has been my role model. And she's been fantastic in the sense that she always told me the truth that not many parents, I think, want to say sometimes. Like she educated me about money. She made me aware that I was a woman, that I'd have to work harder to achieve anything. And particularly because she'd felt that herself as an immigrant in a new country, a bit of a language barrier, which she had to, you know, learn. And just navigating the world of work in the 70s with a young child where you don't have the employment laws like we have now. So she sees the difficulty that women have in child, you know, bringing up children, working, juggling all of that. And I still think that those barriers and difficulties still exist despite the law being equal now. We're equal in the eyes of the law, but I think in society, there's still a lot whereby we're not. And so my mom, I think, schooled me from a very early age on how to navigate that.
So fast forward then, and I agree, you know, my mom as well, she worked so hard. She was a stay-at-home mom for a long time. And yet, you know, she went back, changed education, worked for government now, and just retired. And I think it's really, you know, as you said specifically, you know, the environment our mothers grew up in and the policies and the laws were not always so supportive towards them. And a lot has changed. And yet, right, Vivian, we have still a long way to go, if I may say, for us women now as entrepreneurs as well, but also women just in our lives and how we represent ourselves and what we stand for in our own worth. So talking about Little Moons, how did you get to the idea of creating a delicious? I have tried it. I am a big fan. My children are, my whole family is. And yeah, wherever I go in the world, I see Little Moons. And it always makes me so happy because it's you, right? And it makes me so happy to see and, you know, share something special with you because you're sharing something amazing with the world, a passion, right? And tell us about that, the story of Little Moons in a nutshell.
Well, I, you know, the I worked in the bakery that my mom set up because she ended up leaving work because she found it so hard to bring up her kids. And so she set up her own bakery where I worked in the summer holidays summers, you know, weekends. And I just saw how my mom and my dad eventually joined the business too, how much passion they had for making traditional biscuits that they missed from back home in Malaysia, where they grew up. And so that's where I learned the craft and the passion for making sure that if you're going to make something, be proud of it. Make sure that it really is the best. I love seeing people eat Little Moons for the first time. I love seeing the reviews and just saying that the flavors just pop. So you know, they deliver so heavily on flavor and the textures, and we care about that. And I hope that people think that we have a huge amount of integrity when it comes to making a great product, because I think, you know, that's the first start of building a successful business. But I think also the reason why I started Little Moons is because my mom said to me, you know, you probably want to start your own business, because I was in investment banking before I trained as a chartered accountant. And I could see how difficult it was for the women who were 2-3 positions above me, had children. You know, it's hard to juggle that sort of lifestyle when it's so demanding and, you know, the culture isn't so supportive yet. I don't know if banking's changed much now, but I was in it early 2000s. So starting Little Moons was just, I guess, my expression and independence as a woman. I started with my brother. It just meant that we had more control over our lives and to choose in the future whatever we wanted to do. I ended up not having any children, but I think it would have been a perfect setup had I gone down that path, because you can choose the hours that you work. You don't have someone judging you to say you're not putting the hours in the office, because you know that if you leave early to take care of the kids, to pick them up, you are working later on. My mom was working through 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I remember falling asleep listening to her working. And so I think it's really important, and it's empowering for women to start their own businesses and be more in control of their lives. Oh, that's not really the reason why I started Little Moons, but there's a real backstory to how Little Moons became what it is.
No, and I agree, you know, I see it as well. You know, my children, they see me work all the time. And, you know, even my sons, sometimes I need to promise them not to bring my laptop when we go on holiday. But yet, you know, society just sees the good stuff, right? And they don't see the mountains of work, the weekends you work, the holidays you compromise. We don't really have much holiday, I guess. I don't remember when I took the last holiday where I did not work at all. And so, you know, there's so much to it. They say, you know, the peak of the iceberg, but the iceberg is, if you have it around water, it goes so deep into the ocean, right? And as such, you know, there's so much to it than what the eye sees. And I think that too needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of work that goes, there's always ticking on in behind a woman's mind. And I think my friends call it the mental load. My friends who have children, and all my friends have kids. And I'm a girl's girl. I have many girlfriends. And I just see the struggles that they have, and they earn equal amount to their husbands. They will have fabulous jobs, but they're the sole person who's in charge of making sure there's food in the fridge, placing that Ocado order, like thinking about what schools the kids are going to go to, thinking about, you know, if they have help, like what they're doing, what time, when, what the cover is. And that is a lot of work, additional work that women have to do that I sometimes don't think is visible and appreciated widely by society. And I think it should be talked about. And I think, you know, by having your own business, and, you know, I don't have kids, so I'm not trying not to be hypocritical, but as my business grew grew hugely over the last 2-3 years, I needed support at home from my husband. And, you know, if I'm going to build a successful business, it does mean that I need that support network from my husband, who is such a cheerleader of mine. And that's not to say that he was a stay-at-home husband or anything like that, but it's just wanting to support, like helping your wife. And if you say you're supporting women, support them at home, in your private life as well as just in professionally. You know, I think if during COVID, it was very difficult for women with kids, because I think their husbands weren't helping them at home, and they were the sole people that were taking care of homeschooling and things like that. And so I think, you know, I think we were just talking before about this, is that a huge amount of success of Little Moons is because I have men in my life as well. And, you know, I've co-founded my brother, who all support us, me, women, and we can all juggle it. And it's not a girl and a, or it's not a gender issue. It's just seeing people as a partner, and that partnership should be equal in all areas that you're working.
Absolutely. No, I think it's so beautiful, you know. One thing, you know, young women can think about is, but also young boys, right? Men, choose your partners carefully, right? It's really about, you know, are these people also, are they, you know, are they team players? A relationship is a team. A relationship is a, you know, they can be so much, but there needs to be a partnership, right? And as such, I think, you know, talking about the pandemic and, you know, I have four kids. The thing is, yeah, my husband was like, well, we didn't have Theodor yet, but the others were here. And he was just like, my God, that's so much. You know, I need to get my work done. And I'm like, yeah, me too. Yeah, but my work is more important. Well, why? Right? And just these conversations, right? Well, I'm the bread bearer. You hear that from other guys as well. And then you're, as a woman, you're like, well, I contribute as much to you, to the finances as you do, right? Let that be financially, actually sharing the burden of paying the bills, which often is the case, or just contributing in other ways and making these people's lives run, right? Being the HR director of the family. And as you say, you know, that's often overlooked as something which is just normal. And, you know, that just should be like that. But it is not.
And it goes in ebbs and flows. You know, there's going to be times where my husband's work is incredibly demanding and I'm his support network there and I have to do everything to help him. But it's really nice that when I really needed the support, he was there too. And I just think that's the importance of a partnership in a marriage, that you pick a partner. And, you know, we've been on that journey together. You know, we're both divorced. We both had to reassess what we wanted from a partner. And we've done the work, haven't we?
Welcome in the club.
And you mentioned it about worth, and I think it's women knowing their worth as well, in your own personal life and when you're looking for a partner. I think when I was younger, I didn't necessarily think that I deserved it, and I just thought, oh, I'm expecting too much. But now that we're older, I think that we have a stronger voice and we have more confidence to say, this is what I deserve. This I deserve a supportive partner, I don't know why. I find a lot of women have a lot of sort of confidence issues when it comes to starting difficult conversations and, you know, talking about, because all these, a lot of arguments, right, with partners is about money, childcare, sex as well. And I just think these are difficult conversations to talk about. And if we have the confidence to bring that up and discuss them, and you, if you sweep conversations like that under the carpet, it's never going to resolve itself. And I've had to work really hard on those conversations in personal life and in business, right? Because business is all about relationships, managing people, particularly as your team is growing. It's all about having those difficult performance relationship development points. And it's just having the confidence to bring those up. And I've had a lot of executive coaching for professional work as well. When you're managing a team, managing relationships, how do you manage that in a way that everyone feels supported and not victimized? And because there would be no business if our team didn't work well together. And that's the same as a part of marriage, right?
No, absolutely. There was one story that just came into my mind. And I was very young, right? I was like 20 years old or something like that. When I joined the royal family in Luxembourg, I remember the head of the royal household saying to me, you know, you need to do this and that and this, and you need to give up this and you can't do this. And I said to him, well, why? You know, I said, this was part of me before. Why can't I be me, right? I'm very well educated. And I'm an elegant and fun person, right? I would not go rogue or anything like that. And he would just be like, come on, don't be so ungrateful, right? Like, kind of like, hey, we are rescuing you from the street, you peasant. You be quiet now because, you know, that is what your life is now, you know? And I was just, and I remember how I felt about that. And I still feel about that very strongly, where I'm just like, wow. This is really, you know, young women, you know, when you join families, often you have these, demands and what it should be and what you should do and how you should do things. And I think, yeah, I think it's really important in a relationship, to bring it back what we said, to really assess your worth and know what you're doing and find the right partner that stands right next to you when the things go bad and cheers you on and celebrates in you when the things go right, because a win for you is also a win for your partner. And that is beautiful, right? Because you share everything. So let's talk about talking about this exactly. The one thing came to my mind, which is also a unspoken mystery, right? Women and finance. You know, we have often, you know, should women have their own bank accounts? And also, what about financial education? You know, men, they like to often take control over the finances. And even though you are your own breadwinner, you kind of feel like you're not because of that. What do you think of this?
Look, I think that it's I personally, and I'm a very independent person, but I think it's important for all women to feel that they are independent and have financial independent control. Even if your husband gives you an allowance and you're a stay-at-home mom, I think it's important that you have a bit of money for you to spend on whatever you want without your husband necessarily seeing that you went into Boots. Like, what did you buy in Boots? Well, you know, there is a need for you to be yourself. Not private, not secret, but, you know, I've always wanted to have my own bank account, not because I don't see myself as a partnership with my husband, but just as my own individual person. We can have our own bank accounts. We should have that. We should have the power to do that. And it's not about being secretive or anything like that. I just feel like you're your own human being. You're allowed to have some privacy. You have privacy in the bathroom. Why can't you have financial privacy as well? You know, it's about boundaries. It's about respect. It's having respect for yourself. You deserve to have that control financially, as well as your time and your life and who you see, where you go. And it's all part of that independence. And I think it's really important for women to have that, to fight for it, to defend it.
Was that?
So, yeah, I think, you know,
discussion for you with your husband? Because for me, I see these discussions in my head as well. I have them with my husband as well now. It's an important discussion. So how would you, like any women or any woman or any man really listening, what would you give them as the advice that it worked for you, and how could it work for them too? How would you approach this?
I think that it's important for you to be completely open and honest. And so I have to say, completely honestly, it's something that I've had to work with my husband. He's come with such an open heart to our relationship, and he's put everything out. You'd get a bonus and he's like, oh, I've just got this bonus this year. What do you want to spend it on? Do you want to spend it on the driveway? Do you want to do this up? And I was like, when at first early days, I was a bit like, do whatever you want with it. It's your money. Like, why are you asking me? Didn't say it out loud, but in my head, I was like, what is this openness of heart and sharing? And it was, and you know, for me, if I got a bonus, I'd be like, oh, I'm going shopping. I know exactly what coat I want. I'm doing this. I'm buying these shoes. I've had my eye on this. And that's what I'm spending it on. To think like we'd bring it back to home and be like, oh, what should we do? I think, you know, maybe my mother took it too far when she talked about being independent. And so now I had to learn to be a partner, and maybe like how men need to do it as well. And then I say, of course, it's money we've earned together. We should sit down and talk about it and think about it. We're not asking permission. It's just discussing where you want to go together in life. Is it that you want to retire early? In which case, let's both agree that we screw a lot of money of this away. Where do you see our career going? Maybe we can spend it all and splash it out on a car or holiday, but at least you discuss it as a couple, and then it feels special because it's something that you've agreed together about where you're going, like life-wise, couple-wise, you know. And so I've really had to learn that with my husband, because I was so independent. I was a bit like, this is my money, that's your money. And then we have our shared amounts. And it's been really nice to be that open and not be so secretive about what you spend and how much you're spending on clothes. I don't know if it's just me. I suspect not, because a lot of my girlfriends are a bit like, ah, oh, I've got a secret little place where I squirrel some clothes away. So otherwise my husband's going to be like, what, you bought clothes again? Even though you've earned this money and you have the right, sometimes our things cost more than a man should know that we know that it costs. Because when you turn up on a date with your husband, you don't want him to see that dress cost this much, and I know those shoes cost that much, because you want to turn up and be an enigma still, you know, and you just want to be this beautiful woman that's turned up looking super elegant, sexy, however you want to look for your husband. And there's a bit of je ne sais quoi about it. It's like you're on a first date again. He doesn't have to know everything about you.
Yeah, I like that.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
Love it. I think it's so beautiful. So yeah, I really like that. That's very, very nice. And it's so true. So when it comes then to money, bringing it back to being an entrepreneur, have you seen, because I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I have worked with a lot of women, and I have seen a lot of women struggling with this, you know, with, you know, when you build a company and asking for money, right, support, invest. Mm-hmm. Was that something that came easy to you? Was that easier because your brother was there? And what does that have to do for you with self-development and growth? And also maybe perhaps saying no, right, to finding the right investor as well, and not just taking the first thing that comes.
I think Alison Rose, who's the CEO of Bank of Scotland, she did an Alison Rose report for the government. And I think one of the top reasons why women find it so difficult to get funding is confidence. We don't know the our own personal worth that we bring to the table. We don't know the worth of our businesses. And I think that often when I speak to female entrepreneurs, they say, oh my God, I've met this guy, he's amazing. Or I've met a person, they're amazing. I'm going to give them 10% of my business because they're going to really help me. Like 10%. That's crazy. Even 5%. That's huge. This person is unproven. How do you know? Just because it looks like they've got a great CV, have they really impacted change in all of these businesses? Like, don't be so quick to give away bits of your business. And then confidence again. So this comes back to being an entrepreneur and getting finance. Confidence for me has been a journey that I've been on for a very long time of personal development. And I think that that is where, if you become a confident person, you are more confident in the boardroom, you're more confident asking for investment. And so that's why it comes hand in hand, like growth as a person, growth as a business. And so when you go into, you know, when you go into these environments, I think women always feel they need to know everything, the answer to everything, whereas men can just, like, if they know 2 out of 10 questions, they already think they've got this. And it really is a mindset, and we need to learn how to interact in those environments. I think, you know, men need to change the way that they are, but we also need to meet them halfway as well. And did I find it difficult? So I self-funded, my brother and I self-funded the business for the first 10 years. So we grew slowly. We found a way. Yeah, I mean, we did it slowly. We didn't overinvest in certain areas that we couldn't afford to. You know, maybe our office was a tiny room above a factory. We didn't have a swanky London office or anything like that. And we did a lot of things. We struggled through. I worked 7 days a week. I did all the accounts if I could. I didn't hire someone to help. And it was, you know, hard graft. But a year ago, we got investment from L. Catterton, which is a private equity company. And I didn't find it difficult to find investment from them. But I think by then, our business was of the size whereby I had a lot of support. So I had me, my brother, we had our finance director, marketing director, sales director, ops director. And so there was a group of people going out to look for investment. But I definitely agree that if it was early stage and I was doing it myself at the first stage of growth, like, you know, seed capital, it would have been difficult, particularly because I was less confident back then. And that's why I would really encourage women to try and have more confidence in themselves. And I think that is one of the biggest barriers to start with. But I think also, you know, the VCs, we need more women investing as well. So, you know, women investing in other women's businesses. I think often if I see a woman across the table, I feel more at ease, but she would also, I hope, would make me feel more at ease, because you kind of get each other more, and you understand each other's language in a better way.
That is beautiful. I think that's a perfect way of wrapping up our discussion. I could talk to you forever. This is so, you are just an incredible human being. And you know, the way you talk about difficult conversations just really leads to the impression, definitely, and I hope also inspiration to the people who listen to this, that it is possible to have the most difficult conversations and make them part of your everyday life. And just thrive, you know. Community is something that I could hear from what you were talking about. Community, balance, you know, teamwork, grit, knowledge. I think, I think there's a lot we can all take from your talk. I certainly did a lot today. I look up to you so much. You're so amazing, really.
Aww,
and I'm not
Tessie.
saying that because we're here on a talk. I always told you that, you know, when I went through my darkest moments, my divorce, you were one of the first people I met actually in London.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and it was just, yeah. And I remember how vulnerable I felt to talk, you know, and it was with Lisa, you know, in front of the sorority, to talk about this so personal thing. And you were just, you even, if I recall it well, you were even the first one that came up to me and hugged me. And I will never forget that. So I think you're an amazing human being. And, you know, I always have you back. So, yeah, thank you. My last question to you that I always ask, because I think it's a nice thing to leave people with something they can directly do, besides, of course, going to buy Little Moons and try the Mochi ice cream. Fantastic. But so is there a book you would recommend, a podcast, a video, a quote, something that you can leave us with that people can look up and learn through that a bit more about you, that inspired you, brought you where you are now, that you're really just rereading all the time just because maybe it's a fictional something? Tell us a bit something through a reading or something that tells us a bit more about you.
I really like Elizabeth Day's podcast. She's got two, How to Fail, because I think through vulnerability definitely comes lessons and strengths. And, you know, we both met at a very vulnerable stage when we both went through a divorce, but actually it's kind of the making of us. You know, we picked ourselves up and we're now stronger. But something that's applies to me from a business point of view and personal life is James Clear's book, Atomic Habits.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one quote that he says, and I'll probably misquote him, but it sounds something like this. And it's, you don't rise to the level of your ambitions, you fall to the level of your systems. And I think that's so true at work. If you want your business to grow, you need to put the systems in place for your business to be the 50, 100, 150 million pound business. Without those systems in place, you will not get there just on dreams alone. And it's also to do with your personal life. You have to have systems in place to support you, to have your girlfriends around you, good people you can talk to give advice, a husband that's supportive, you know, all of these, your systems to keep you strong, healthy, and happy, to help you succeed in your personal life and then go on to thrive professionally.
Wow.
That's it.
I had many guests on my podcast, and this is the best quote I have heard so far. I love it. And it wraps up beautifully our whole conversation. Wow. Thank you, Vivian. This has been really fantastic. I will talk to you offline.
Oh, great.
And for people, please go and follow Vivian with Little Moons. They have also a very vibrant TikTok channel and everything else you do. So go and check her out and go to the supermarket in your country. She's in 30 countries internationally, so it's very likely she is where you are. And just check it out and get a little bit of her, feel a bit of the passion through her beautiful Mochi ice creams. Thank you, Vivian, and love you very much.
Thank you. This has been wonderful. I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Zoom O'Clock. We hope this discussion was insightful and has provoked some new ideas for you. Please share and subscribe. If you'd like to keep in touch with your host, you can find her on Instagram under Tessie_from_Luxembourg and on Twitter under Tessie_DE.